Welcome in, final hour, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3. The game here in the game studio is sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I'm Joe Rex Show here with Junie Riddle, in for Robbie Stanley, a brand new father today. And welcome to the world, Allison Reese Stanley, this show dedicated to her. And you know, I thought we can count on our next guest, Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com, to make this special for Allison Reese Stanley. Paul, how you doing, buddy?
Congratulations to the happy parents and to the lovely child. Welcome to the world. You had a very disc jockey voice coming out of there. Welcome back to 102.5 The Game.
Welcome to WHMR, where we are big time homers. Yes, thank you, Paul. I've been working hard.
Shove it.
Yeah, exactly. I've been working hard on that. And by the way, before we get into the Titans, put you on the spot. Your absolute number one parenting rule for Robbie and Heather.
Listen, I have an only child. I didn't have to work through battles of siblings. I don't have that kind of stuff in my house so much. Make her read.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Make her read.
That's which cool. I failed at. I failed at.
It was all TV. It was all...
He doesn't watch any TV. He's on the phone all the time.
That's true. We actually want our kids... Like, I wish my kids would watch TV. Like, watch some freaking TV instead of stupid
TikTok
videos.
Let's watch a movie together.
Right. Exactly.
No. It's very hard.
Yeah, I'd rather watch 9 seconds of somebody, you know, juggling, like, knives or whatever. Yeah. All right, so... PK to the Titans. We've been talking a lot last couple of days about one guy in particular, and of course he got a little bit more opportunity yesterday. Took advantage of it pretty well. What's your state of the QB2 situation and the improvement of Will Levis? How do you view that right now?
Yeah, I thought the last 2 days were quite good. I mean, he didn't finish great yesterday, but Monday was all red zone, and I thought he made good decisions. And once you make good decisions in the red zone, then if you've got a quick release, that really benefits you. And clearly one of the good things about Will Levis is the quick release, probably the best thing. And so he played quality football in the red zone. And then stacking on top of that, a pretty good day on this move the ball period. I hope people understand the move the ball, like typically you keep snapping the ball in the same spot. Here they played real football in terms of moving up and down the field, and they were unscripted calls out of a mini playbook. That's a different deal for a rookie quarterback who hasn't done that before in a NFL practice setting, where he's got to move the huddle, call a play, communicating with Tim Kelly and all of that. And he had a nice long touchdown drive keyed by two catches by Roberson, including the touchdown, and another touchdown play to Mason Kinsey. I thought the 2 days combined were a very nice and encouraging package. And then yesterday, some of that was with twos as opposed to threes, some guys that he's not as familiar with and hopefully will be getting more familiar with.
So another interesting thing that Mike Vrabel said yesterday, Paul, talking about the pockets since pads went on. He thinks the pockets have been a little bit better. I don't think anybody should be surprised or would be surprised that this defensive front, which is very good, talented, and especially when Jeffrey Simmons is out there. Of course, he missed most of yesterday after a little scuffle with Jamarco Jones. But nobody should be surprised that this defensive front would get the better of this largely unproven offensive line. But did you see some improvement in that way? And do you see some hope right now for this offensive line?
I do think that there have been some better pockets, were some better pockets on Monday and Tuesday. And I think, like you're saying, clearly this defensive line is better than this offensive line. Five practices in, you start to, surely Jeffrey Simmons knows how to handle Daniel Brunskill at this point. So I think, look, I'm not confident about the offensive line, but I don't think we should put too much into a very good defensive line beating up a questionable offensive line early in the gelling process. I'll take more out of what it does against Minnesota in 2 days, against Chicago in a game, against Minnesota in joint practices in a game, against New England in joint practices in a game. You know, somebody that's unfamiliar, that there might be a touch of game plan or at least strategy to it, as opposed to this day after day similar mismatch. But, you know, obviously it's the weakness, and we're going to look at it very closely. It's very inconvenient for them to be matched against such a strength on a day-to-day basis.
We're talking to Paul Kaharsky from paulkaharsky.com. Paul, yesterday in practice, Christian Fulton went down with what Joe describes as a slight hamstring injury. Does this concern you at all? And if Fulton does miss some time this year with injury, how do you think that impacts the depth at the cornerback position?
Well, just to be clear, he didn't go down. He kind of pulled up, but he never went to the ground, and he returned to action pretty quickly. So the Fulton concern then is he out there on Thursday? You know, they're walking through today, and that's closed. So that's the kind of thing that if it's an issue, we'll find out about it on Thursday. Fulton's been good, and Fulton's gotten a lot of compliments from Vrabel about the quality of his play and the quality of his fitness, and the lack of lackadaisical snaps, which tells you what they think of some of the snaps that he's had over the last 3 years. You know, this is a huge year for Christian Fulton. I don't think he's got a future here after this year, but he's obviously campaigning for a future somewhere, and he's a good cornerback. Went off to a different trainer. He wasn't at the beginning of OTAs, which was a dumb move. He was still in the doghouse when he got back, but he's a key guy for them. Needs to play 17 games, needs to show off that what he did with this trainer in Florida addressed some of the soft tissue stuff. And let's hope on Thursday he's out there and this was just a moment instead of a thing.
Yeah, and by the way, earlier we were talking about this, and TD texted me. He talked to Fulton. I mean, again, as TD and others pointed out yesterday, he went back in, you know, a little bit. I kind of went back and said, I have seen it before where, you know, someone has adrenaline in a moment. Yeah, I'm fine. Gets back in.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it tightens up later. So we're gonna find out Thursday. But it did look at least minor.
Yes.
Yeah, so we'll have to see on that. So, PK, I got to get you last thing here. I got to get you on the topic of the week. I guess the topic of the week of the NFL is Jonathan Taylor. But I'd rather ask you about the quarterback tiers from Mike Sando, which I'm always fascinated by. And I must say, some of the commentary on Tannehill and just some of the – I mean, people in the league. This isn't media people who never watch the Titans. This is people who their jobs dictate they need to be informed, really, on the whole league, right? I mean, that's where I'm blown away at times. With some of, and again, talk about WHMR. I mean, this is it sparks the major homer in me when I see some of this analysis of a good quarterback and just people who seem to like never watch him play. But am I overreacting? What was your thought?
Yeah, I mean,
on that?
Are you being silly here? And are you going to do an hour on Mike Sando's quarterback tiers instead of doing your own stuff?
Oh, see, that's why I got you in on this. Now I want you to talk about someone else's stuff. Come on, PK.
Well, I mean, obviously talk about somebody else's stuff, but you don't build a show around it. You know, Stilley was furious that Sando took so long to put out the tiers because he didn't have the content earlier.
That is true. He was complaining.
He was going to cancel his athletic subscription. I mean, my God.
Yes.
Look, Tannehill's better than 22nd, but he's not that much better than 22nd. So I don't think there's moral outrage. I mean, some of those guys kind of indicate, you know, somebody still mentioned the Cincinnati playoff game, which is obviously, you know, his low moment. And somebody else talks about, you know, the injury and him beginning to slow down. So there are a lot of good young quarterbacks in the league. He's clearly behind a lot of those guys. But, you know, personally, I would never ask Mike Vrabel or a Titan what they think about his ranking at 22 on some athletic list. Ryan Tannehill could be a very good quarterback for the Titans if the Titans are well-built. And they look to be pretty well-built if the offensive line can hold up, or if Tim Kelly calls things that make up for the offensive line not holding up. So all of those things look good now. If he stays healthy, we know what he can be in the regular season. And right now, this team feels like a team that can contend for the division, get themselves a home playoff game if things go well, and then they'll probably lose a home game at Nissan Stadium because they don't have as good a quarterback as the team they're matching up against.
Okay, I lied. Actually, Junie has one more for you, PK.
So,
Hang with us. Extra time. Come on.
But Paul, you know, Treylon Burks spoke to the media yesterday, and he was kind of asked about, you know, his expectations on the season for himself. And he kind of gave the stereotypical answer about, you know, he just wants to help the team win. But in your opinion, obviously he has to be a major contributor to this team in order for them to be successful. What kind of season does he have to take this offense to a level to where they can compete in the playoffs?
You know, I'm not big on predicting numbers. It'd be great to have him out there for 17 games, and you know, maybe he surprises and he's the top receiver on this team. But he certainly needs to be top three, and I would think he'd be second. I would expect Hopkins, Burks, and Chig to be the top three receivers on this team in terms of receptions and targets. He's a new man. I mean, he's transformed in every way you could think of in terms of his body, his ability to work, and the way he's talking and expressing confidence. And I think there's every reason to feel great about what he is about to do. But that there's the distance, Junie, between that and going out and doing it and staying healthy. And so, I mean, he's a cause for great optimism among Titans fans, but he's got to go out there and do it. I think he will. I think he's going to be one of the good things about this offense. And they've got him programmed. I mean, he's not talking about numbers or goals or anything like that. Just the good of the team, right?
That's right. That was a very WHMR answer. But I do agree with you, PK. Paul Kaharsky, paulkaharsky.com. Thank you, as always, my friend, and enjoy the day out of the sun.
Yeah, you might be seeing me.
Okay, sounds good. Paul Kaharsky, paulkaharsky.com. We come back, we'll react a little bit of what he said. And we're going to talk about, there was a fumble. There was a big mishandle at practice yesterday, but there was a bigger one another media member did that I'm absolutely furious about. We'll get to that next. Robbie and Rex are 1025, 1063 The Game. Robbie and Rex Show is presented by TJ Anderson Homes, a Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Welcome back into Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game. And the game studio is sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. If you'd like to join the conversation, the game phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We had tons of reaction to Junie Riddle's rant about door-to-door soliciting. Lots of reaction, including the story from Jonathan of starting to work with one of those companies, going to someone's house, and someone was burying their dog, and the guy who was training was still trying to push whatever they were selling. My gosh. Read the room a little bit. There was a lot of reaction to that. Also, my reaction to PK, one of them is he did a nice job of saying your name. Good job, PK.
Yeah,
he said your name.
He remembered me this time.
He remembered you. He tagged you on Twitter. I mean, how about that? How about that, PK? Now, I want to get into – I was going to ask PK about this, but he would have talked – he would have screamed for 10 minutes, "Oh, my God, I'm so upset about that," you know, in that PK voice he talks in. So I didn't even – I didn't – bother him with it, but I just want to talk about a couple things that media members have done this week that have absolutely been inexcusable. One, yes, Jared Stillman biffed it yesterday. He dropped the field goal right in his arms. There's no excuse. I don't want to hear his excuses, and I want to thank Jimmy Wyatt for calling him out in his mailbag on TitansOnline.com or TennesseeTitans.com, and also referencing Best of Times. That's fantastic. Love that movie. But there's a bigger mistake this week, Junie, okay? This is – Kaharski had a great idea. Kaharski had a great idea for camp, and he put a board up, and he said, we are going to judge Mike Vrabel's mood every day. You know, scale of 1 to 10, whatever kind of mood he's in, we'll all talk about it, we'll put it on the board, and we'll just kind of track his moods, right? So, you know, early on, he had a couple – man, he was ornery, or a couple of them early. I think he got threes. And then the last couple of days, it's been really good. I mean, he even answered Kaharski's stupid question about, like, five-year-olds tackling Derrick Henry, which I think was, like, for a mailbag. He's out there having a blast. But we find out yesterday that Vrabel got information about this. And I didn't realize this, but a certain media member, I think his first name's Buck. I forget his last name. I forget what station he – whatever. Apparently on his show, wherever that is – whatever his last name is, he freaking goes out and talks about it in public. How is Mike Vrabel, how are we going to be able to do this if you talk about it and then he knows about it? You've tainted the whole thing. It would have been a lot of fun. It would have been, we just scrap now. Just scrap it. It would have been it's a great idea, but Kaharski, and you got to go on your show and talk about it? Like, are you kidding me?
We could add a chart. We could add analytics. We could track this and be like, okay, this is a good day and this is a good time next training camp to kind of go in and assess whether a certain question should be asked. I mean,
that's this, getting into the weeds.
This could highly affect the media. I mean, seriously, Vrabel any given day. I mean, he could be in a great mood. Sometimes he's kind of joking around, going with the media, like you alluded to. With
well, I don't want him to be fake. I want him if he's pissed off to be authentic. Now I feel like he thinks that we're judging his mood, which we were, but it was our thing. We were having fun with it. So yeah, I mean, to your point. I don't know that you're going to find trends. I mean, you know, things happen. Something bad happens. Somebody gets hurt or whatever. Like, I remember, I think last year, he was pretty, just ornery. And then it was like shortly after the presser, we found out Landry had just torn his ACL, right? Like, things happen externally that can cause that. But yeah, this would have been a lot of fun. And we got to go out and put it out public. Like, dude, is nothing sacred?
Oh,
so
man.
Anyway, that's my little mini rant.
But question about this though, do you think Mike Vrabel actually cares if people are judging him on his mood? Do you think he would take that into consideration?
I mean, he was joking about it yesterday, but again, now that he knows, like it just it was going to be an interesting case study. You know,
it does ruin the fun.
Right,
it definitely ruins the fun.
Yes, thank you, Troy. I know who it is. I'm just not going to say his last name or station, but I appreciate it. Yes, I know well who he is. I screamed at him yesterday. We all screamed at him. I mean, the expletives raining his way. And he's like, really, dude? Did you really have to do that? Anyway, what do we want to talk about on the football front? I mean, I've got Choices Yours coming up, baby edition, so I'm very excited about that. But PK's segment there, what really stood out to you? Anything? You asked him about Treylon Burks. I agree with him. It's like, show it. Let's see it. But when you see someone consistently doing all the things Treylon Burks is doing now, usually that translates to actual football.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Treylon and his emergence is something that I feel like we're not talking about enough. We just kind of expect it. We see it out on the practice field. And I think that with off-season stuff, with the OTAs and all that, when he came back in and, you know, he took the private plane to get here, and then when he got here, he looked thinner, he looked faster, he looked better, he looked ready to go. And I think we're just kind of overshadowing the point, like, we still got to see this out on the field. And I think it's really important for this offense because, you know, we talked about the addition of DeAndre Hopkins and what this does for the rest of the guys, but it still has to come to fruition. So I wasn't necessarily looking for, you know, Paul to say, oh, well, he has to have 1,000 yards, he has to have, you know, such and such amount of touchdowns. But I think that he genuinely, like, has to be a consistent threat. And I like the fact that he highlighted he has to stay healthy. Because, again, it's not something that people are talking about. You know, last year he was dealing with the turf toe and the concussion. And, again, like, he can't control concussions. But, you know, he's got to be out in the field and he's got to, you know, be more consistent. And so last year with the flashes that we saw, we've got to see him come in, at least be that number two option. And I think that if he is, and if he's putting out on film in the regular season what he's doing right now, I mean, I genuinely think if this offense stays healthy, they're going to be way, way better than what a lot of people are thinking.
If they can block. But, yes, he is going to be a problem for people. The game's summer ticket tour is headed to Streetcar Taps and Garden, located at 4916 Charlotte Pike, tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come eat, drink, hang, and leave with a pair of free Sounds, Preds, Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, or concert tickets. Also, get signed up for the grand prize, Titans tickets, Preds tickets, and the Euro Stone Club, and a two-night stay at Opryland Hotel with access to sound waves. Black Tie Moving delivers the game summer ticket tour. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour. And when we come back, the choice is yours. Baby Edition, Allison Reese Stanley, welcome to the world. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
We all have choices to make. Like right now. It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The choice is yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Oh, and it's that time, folks. It's The Choice Is Yours. I'm very excited to be in the seat today. I was going to be in the seat today regardless, but I get to be in the seat today on Allison Reese Stanley Day on Robbie and Rex Show. Welcome to the world. 7 pounds, 8 ounces, 5:13 a.m. Robbie and Heather doing great. So many parenting takes to come on this show. This is basically going to become a parenting advice show, so everybody get excited for that. Also, real quick, I just want to go back on the media person I was screaming about. Actually, his name is Andrew. I apologize. His name is Andrew. I had his name wrong. So, anyway, sports or non-sports, guys?
Let's go sports, Joe.
We're going to go sports. Okay. If you could take any two athletes from any era and create a child to be the greatest athlete of all time, who would it be?
Oh, I already have mine.
You got yours, because usually that's one where I have to go first, but go ahead.
Serena Williams and LeBron James.
Yes.
I just think as...
What sport?
Football.
Yeah.
I would say either football or basketball on that one. It would have to be one of the two. You would get the height of LeBron James. You would get, even with Serena as well, like you would get a lot of bulk. I just feel like between the two of them, if they had a child, that would just be like the perfect, like, middle linebacker, maybe even like edge rusher or something. Just somebody that's an absolute brute.
That's a goat pairing. Yeah, without question. That would be very good. Do you have something, Nick? You need me to go?
Go ahead.
Okay. All right, mine. So I've been whining this week about running backs. I wrote about it. Like, I'm afraid that we're not going to have great running backs at some point. There's going to be a talent drain. Barry Sanders, Simone Biles, the first running back in NFL history who flips over people, okay? Flips over. I mean, this running back is going to be like 5'1". Won't even be able to see. Running. Barry Sanders is only 5'8", but will flip over people. Not only juke everybody out of their shorts, but will flip. Simone Biles is the greatest athlete to me ever. That's just my opinion, because I also think gymnasts are a totally different level than everybody else. Everybody else would die trying to do what they do. Don't get me started on that. Barry Sanders, Simone Biles. Nick, come on, man.
All right, so I'm going to go with someone that is pretty renowned in basketball, too, so I'll go ahead and go with Michael Jordan, and I'm going to pair him with Wilma Rudolph. She was fast.
Ah, nice. Clarksville.
So I think
legend.
That TSU. Would be one hell of a combination. In terms of this, the athleticism.
So we're talking Olympian then?
But yes, also being quick. So this could be a dual athlete. You could see football, basketball, track and field as well. It's a multi-sport baby, so I think that would be a fun one to watch. And they're very talented. They're generational talents too, and so would this baby.
Okay. Well, that's not the last time Michael Jordan will come up on this segment today here. Okay, non-sports. In honor of Allison Reese Stanley on Allison Reese Stanley Day here on the program, you have a baby today. Give me your boy. You don't know, boy or girl. Give me your boy and girl names. Go.
So, girl name, it's actually kind of funny because, you know, when we were waiting for what the gender was going to be around, you know, this time last year, we had come up with a boy and girl name. So, the girl name we came up with, you know, I just said Serena Williams. We actually came up with Serena Jocelyn. That was nice. Going to be the girl name if our child was a girl. And if it was a boy, Oh, I gotta get a minute on this one. Boy names are so much harder than girl names, by the way.
Are they?
Yeah, like when we were talking about it, we did not pick out the boy name until literally a month before he's born. Girl name, within a day. So, boy name.
Just got to go, like, it's like taking the SAT, first instinct.
All right, Wayne.
Wayne. I like Wayne, man. Old school. How about you, Keezer?
Okay, so I'm going to say for a girl, I would go Charlotte.
Okay.
I think that's a pretty name.
That's a good name.
Very
I like
nice
that.
Name. Very
and
nice
then
name.
For a boy, I'm kind of leaning toward like a Matthew, maybe. Just something kind of basic, but not one that's common in my family.
Traditional, biblical. Okay.
Yeah, I think Matthew.
That's my little brother's name.
Matthew
good name.
Would be cool. I would be fine using my middle name, Alexander, for Alex, maybe. I don't know. That's another thought that I have there, too. But I like Matthew and Alex.
Okay. I like that. Mine, Anthony. I've tried, you know, we have three kids, Jack, Brennan, Caroline. I pushed Anthony all along. It's also the same. That's the answer to what if I wish my name was a different name, it would be Anthony. I just love the name Anthony. And then my girl name's Alyssa, so for obvious reasons, Alyssa. Okay, sports. Who is the biggest crybaby in sports history? You want me to go first?
Well, no. Joe, we already know which one you're going with.
I just feel bad because I keep saying the same people. I mean, it's LeBron James. Mm. Like, LeBron James is hands down the biggest cry. Like, I know. I keep bringing up the same people, but it's LeBron. I mean, LeBron flops. LeBron cries about calls. He cries about his teammates and when they don't show up and their coaches. Like, he's just a crybaby. He cries about everything. Unless he has everything perfect around him to where he is suitable to win, he's crying about it all the time.
Okay. Nick? Does someone come immediately to mind?
I'm going to go with Antonio Brown. I don't like how he has previously come out about just some calls or whether it's, you know, his off-field activity, I feel like. I mean, he's an athlete. It doesn't matter if he's playing now currently or not for me. But I feel like when he was playing in the NFL, I thought at times it was a little bit stupid with some of the things that he would say or the way that he would act around just the other teammates that he was, you know, going up against. I personally just was never a fan of what he had to say, especially I think he was mic'd up a few times during his days with the Steelers too. And I don't think it was, you know, that's not the best example, but when I've seen him in games, that's when I've noticed him the most, kind of being a crybaby.
There's a lot more problematic things than crybabiness for Tony Brown, but yeah, I think that's fine. So maybe this is generational. Now, this is very close for me. Is it Michael Jordan or is it Tom Brady? Who is the biggest crybaby? But you, again, it's generational. You think LeBron's a crybaby?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Go back and watch some Michael Jordan crybaby. Okay?
Really?
Oh, God. That guy cried about every time he got touched to the point where he had the entire league change. He absolutely cried about it. And the thing is, we celebrate his hagiography, you know, doc. We celebrate, oh, Michael got after those. What was he doing? Crying about every single one of his teammates at all times. That's what he was doing. He's crying. I mean, he was doing it in a mean way. But, yes, now Brady's very close. And I mean, come on. Brady, every single call, has to cry and complain about it. I also consider John McEnroe, but at least his crying was entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
So I give him a little bit extra points. But, yeah, Brady and Jordan, easily, very close.
I'll say this about Jordan, though. At least he was actually getting hit in the era that he was playing in.
This is true.
Whereas LeBron flopping over really things that shouldn't be non-calls. I mean, you're talking about two different NBAs.
You are right. No, I agree, but you can find Jordan doing the same. I mean, Jordan flopped a lot, too. Yes, Jordan got hit more, for sure, and more stuff was allowed back then. I will agree with you. He also embellished a good amount.
Mine would also be Patrick Waugh. Just to throw that in there.
Wow.
Patrick Waugh.
Dude, I'm so glad you said that. I think I blew it. How did I not have Patty Roy? Boy, there's so many great options. Thank you for bringing that up.
He's a really bad
one. Oh.
Anyway.
I mean, don't even get me started on Patty Roy. All right. Last one, non-sports. If you had to eat baby food for a week, and only one kind of baby food, this is the only baby food you can eat for an entire week, what are you choosing? And, Junie, you're well acquainted with baby food now, so you should have, you know, like this is fresh in your mind.
I mean, honestly, no, because, one, you know,
you're not quite there yet.
No. Well, we don't use baby food.
Oh,
like,
okay.
My wife literally takes fruit, protein, like potatoes, veggies, And she blends it up and makes her own
stuff.
So
impressive.
She's very particular. Like, she didn't like the ingredients in baby food that's sold in the grocery store, so she's very particular about it. But I would have to say, like, some form of, like, banana. Like, I think, like, banana is the best form of baby
mushy
food.
Mushy banana, my God.
I just like bananas.
Okay. Nick?
Okay, I don't like any of the mushy baby food. I really would love to just go for those puffs, you know, like the little, like, soft treats.
No, sorry, man.
But I can't. Yeah, I know. Nope. That's the one issue I have, because I hate it. It is my least favorite thing. I have been around a couple of babies in my cousins' families over in California, and the baby food just grosses me out. I think the thing that Shayna does is probably what I would want to do one day.
It's a lot of work.
It is, but I think I'd rather tolerate that. It's real food. But I'm probably going to go with maybe just like a pear mix, I think, just because that's more tolerable. I used to work at a grocery store, and when the baby food broke, the only one I could really tolerate was the pear mix, so that's what I'm going
to
go with.
That's not a bad way to go. The worst way to go is peas. The thing is, I love peas, but like mush, it's wrong. But for me, the answer is sweet potatoes, and this goes back to being a dad. Like, that was the one that I was like, you know, this actually isn't bad. And I think it was, my wife could correct me, but I think it was the most popular for all of them. So, and I'm not a big sweet potatoes guy, but if you have to do the baby food, I think sweet potatoes.
Sweet potatoes is my top three. Going back to our biggest crybaby in sports, Josh on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com says LeBron is the biggest crybaby. And then another texter, unknown, says, I would argue Phillip Rivers was more of a crybaby than Tom Brady.
Yeah, there's also a lot of votes for John McEnroe. So, a lot of reaction to a lot of this, and we will get to some of that. Also, I'd like to remind you, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook Live every day. Video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Download the app today. Use promo code THEGAME. Also, Superbook Sports invites you to a special UFC post-match party with Dustin Jacoby after the fights, Saturday night at Landshark Bar at Margaritaville on South Broadway. Follow Superbook Sports on social media for more information. We come back, we'll wrap it up on Allison Reese Stanley Day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to the Chase McCabe Show and Caroline William D. Mace on Friday as they broadcast live from Titans training camp. They'll get player interviews and deliver the latest updates with Titans practice as the team preps for the 2023 season. Coverage of Titans training camp is presented by the Simmons Bank Open, Parman Energy, and Caudill Vet Clinic. Welcome back. Last segment, Robbie and Rex showed 102.5, 106.3 The Game, the Allison Reese Stanley Show. I hope that we've done her and the Stanley family proud. Junie Riddle in today for Robbie. A lot of good takes, some bad takes. It's okay. It happens. You said especially very well.
I try for you. Other than
one time. No, I appreciate it. Paul Kaharski knew your name. You've got people asking for autographs when you're out in public.
It's lovely.
Anyway, it is.
Life is changing.
Yes, it is, right? So speaking of camp, Titans are off today. Actually, I always say that. I don't know that they're off today. Today is not a media day. Sometimes I get that. I'm sure they're not off. They just are keeping us out. They're keeping us out. Whenever they can keep us out, they're going to keep us out.
Maybe one of those jogging days that Vrabel was talking about, you know.
Remember? Just all some jazzercise out there for a couple hours.
Some aerobics.
Yeah, could be. But they'll be back at it. You know, we'll be back at it in terms of being out there, being able to observe things tomorrow. As we talked about earlier, we were joking about Jared, you know, dropping the field goal, and Andrew totally blowing the Vrabel mood-o-meter, which would have been a lot of fun this camp. But the last 2 days, I'd say the story, Junie, has been, I'd say, Will Levis. I mean, Will Levis raising his level of play, reacting well to things. I think that pretty consistently, he's been pretty good about making a quick decision. And I still think with Malik Willis, that's something he still has to keep working on. You know, get to the second read, like you know, get it out. I mean, Malik Willis has had some very good moments too. I thought Will Levis the last couple of days has just put the ball on the spot. So he's seeing it, he's ripping it, and he's just putting the ball where it needs to go. And a few practices ago, he had a day where I'd say probably three passes just sailed on him. You know, it's like gimme throws, kind of shorter throws that sailed on him. He still does need to work on, I think yesterday, a couple incompletions were the result of, you know, straight up fastball on a pass where you got to take something off it, and that's something he's certainly working on.
Yeah, apparently from what I read, it was the Mason Kinsey kind of doing like a little 4-yard, you know, drag, slant, right, whatever it was, and he just bulleted to him right there over the middle. And I mean, you can't do that, and you'll figure that out as you get into the league. You know, I feel like he's just trying to kind of overdo it a little bit, maybe right now, trying to catch the attention. But you know, I also do want to preface this, because you know, a lot of people and a lot of listeners, you know, they hear me and they're like, oh, you know, that's the guy that wanted Levis to come in. I did preface and say that if they did bring in DeAndre Hopkins, that Tannehill should be the starter. They should go with it, because to me, that alleviated one of the two big issues going into the season for me. But I like how Levis is progressing. I like what I'm seeing from him. And from, you know, me, you know, watching, you know, Kenny Pickett and the way that he developed in his training camp last year, and how fast he went from being the third guy on the roster behind Mason Rudolph and Mitch Trubisky, I just really felt like Levis and what he was able to do, that he was going to come along a lot quicker than what people were seeing in rookie minicamp and OTA. So I like where he started out in these first couple weeks of training camp, and as we progress to the preseason, I expect him to take more and more steps, and I feel like Titans fans will get a little bit more positive about him as we go through the season, and maybe anticipate when it is his time to take over.
Yeah, I mean, the preseason games are going to be very interesting. I still think it's absolutely a competition. I mean, I'd say, you know, Willis right now is QB2 and Levis QB3. So that's going to be interesting. Some reaction on the text line driven by WillsBehindHoney.com. Philip Rivers got a lot of love on the crybaby front, which I think is a good one to bring up for sure. Like I said, a lot of McEnroe on there too. I got a question from Dennis. What's the latest on kicker? So, again, we joked about Stillman's butterfingers, but that was a make. There was one miss yesterday. Now, Trey Wolf, right now they're going back to the it's your day and now it's your day. They've had at least one day where they alternated, but Wolf was 7-for-8 yesterday. I'm reading Jimmy Wyatt's recap. So the makes 42, 34, 38, 33, 52, 33, 54. He's got a big leg. He missed from 46. He is 26 of 28. Shudak, these are Jimmy Wyatt's stats, and I trust them like gospel. Caleb Shudak, again, didn't kick yesterday. He's 18 of 20. So I guess in the next practice that we see, you know, that's the thing. If they're out there today, they could just do an all-kicking practice, and we didn't have no idea what's going on. But I would assume then Shudak gets the day on Thursday. There is pressure, and look, that's the thing. We joke about, like, Vrabel sitting there, like, fuming, like, why is Stillman putting his hands up, guilt go away? There is a pressure element to that. There's a pressure element to all of us standing there watching. There's a pressure element to the fans there. You can't totally replicate what you get in a game, and I think the preseason games are going to be a huge thing in this. It's interesting. I still feel like Shudak is a guy that they've kind of identified as a guy who could be – the guy. But I talked to some people, you know, on the media side who are like, yeah, maybe Trey Wolf is actually who they would like to win it. It's very close. And it's interesting. It's good to have competition. It's good to have, let me do math, kickers who right now are 44 of 48. That's good. You still would like to see some clean sheets, you know, some days where it's like just boom, right down the middle. They both have more leg distance than Randy Bullock did. And I just don't know. It's just you need at some point with this franchise to find the long-term answer, and that's it, and stop wandering around trying to find a kicker. I don't know yet if either of these guys is that level of kicker.
Well, you know, the past couple of years they've went the free agent route and trying to go get a veteran kicker, and I think this year trying to go with a younger guy, an unproven player, is the right route to go. I mean, you got to find somebody that's going to be your next guy for years to come, and really, with what I've gathered, because, again, I've only been out there one day, but from what I've seen on social media, it seems as if, like, Trey Wolf has more of the upside and the frame that they want, and whereas Shudak seems more of, like, the consistent, maybe the safer bet. And he was here, you know, he was around last year as well. So, for me, you know, I hear from Easton Freeze, he talks about Trey Wolf all the time. So I've been kind of more on the Trey Wolf stance. If he's got a better frame and some more upside, I'd be looking more towards that.
I definitely like Trey Wolf's chances better if a kick's blocked and you need a tackle, but, you know, I don't know. I think it's very close. It's very interesting. And this show is over. Go ahead.
Real quick, though. Do you think that kicker is the second most intriguing position battle this preseason?
It probably is. Right tackle's kind of up there now, too.
No, but that's fair.
It's up there. All right. Thank you, folks. It's been a great show. Robbie and Rexrow, Junior Riddle in. Allison Reese Stanley, welcome to the world. Chase McCabe is up next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.